93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Hey, sirrah, sirrah.
Whistle blows. Pompey have got their own wall. Evans strikes it into the net. Gareth Evans has given Portsmouth the lead.
Whatever will be, will be.
Finding the feet of Gareth Evans. Evans chipping it to the far post. Thompson in behind, back across, goal and into the net. Ollie Hawkins has a second for Portsmouth.
We're going to Wembley.
Curtis going for the dead ball line into the corner. What an effort from Ronan Curtis. Portsmouth are heading to Wembley.
Hey, sirrah, sirrah. The time is almost upon us. The big Wembley day out is just under 2 days away. Can Pompey claim their first piece of silverware under the ownership of the Tornante company? What advantages do the Blues have on the Black Caps going into the game? And what are your score predictions for Sunday's encounter under the arch? If you text Express and your message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. You're listening to 93.7 Express FM, so stick around and don't go anywhere, because it's 6pm, the 29th of March, and time now for one of the biggest football hours of the season so far. It's the big match preview of Pompey vs Sunderland, the Checkatrade Trophy final. This is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, which of course sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. This season we remain the only radio station to provide you a passionate and positive Pompey debate three times a week for the Football Hours every Monday, Thursday and Friday with either myself or James Robbins. Okay, well, before we go any further with the big build-up of the massive game on Sunday, let's go over last Saturday when the Blues travelled up to Shropshire. Last season, Shrewsbury were unable to win at Wembley, losing to Rotherham United in the playoff final. This campaign, though, they have found themselves in the middle of a 13-team relegation battle, a potential banana skin for Kenny Jackett's men if there ever was one then, following two consecutive victories prior to the game. Commentary of the game comes from usual suspects of Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The news in League One from earlier in the day was not the result Portsmouth were looking for. Walsall, by all accounts, outplaying Barnsley, but it was the Tykes who grabbed a late winner and mean Pompey start the day 7 points adrift of the top two here at Shrewsbury. Pompey give it away really sloppily, and Okunobiri gets in behind Burgess down the left. 2-8 from the middle. Wally's the target. He can't get there. Still in the area there for Shrewsbury. Can Wally find anyone? Pulled back, cleared away by Naylor. Burgess is lucky. Pompey get away with one. Wally wasn't far away from giving Shrewsbury a 1-0 lead early on here. Naylor with a lovely crossfield ball to Lowe. He takes it in his stride. Lowe in the area. Just can't get it out of the goalkeeper. That would have been a magnificent goal. It's still 0-0. Vogel can't get into Grant. Out towards the touchline. Couple of touches. Grant is driving forward towards the penalty area. Good run from Grant. Laying it off. Wally into the box. Real chance. Oh, what a save for Gilbury. What a magnificent save. And Pompey get it half clear. And Gareth Evans hooks away. And it makes you wonder once more, how was the only second choice goalkeeper at this club last season? 0-0. Here's Pittman laying it off. Brown in the box. Brown shot. Saved. Loose in the area. Close. Into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have taken the lead. Ben Close drilling it low and hard and into the net. Portsmouth may not deserve the lead, but they have it. Shrewsbury 0. Portsmouth 1. Bit of a mix-up at the back for Shrewsbury. Are they going to get away with it? Pittman picks it up. Hawkins is going to drive into the area. Hawkins to Pittman. Pittman to win it. Pittman does just that. 2-0 to Portsmouth. Shrewsbury have shot themselves in the foot. The clearance of the goalkeeper went back on his defender, and Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman, the pair that Kenny Jackett said couldn't play together. Well, Pittman has been set up by Hawkins. It's Shrewsbury nil, Portsmouth 2. Pittman can't get anywhere near it in Campbell's header. It's straight at Craig McGilvery. How apt that the game ends with the former Shrewsbury man making a save to ensure his clean sheet is intact. Shrewsbury have been beaten 2-0 here at the New Meadow by Portsmouth. Three wins in a row in League One, and Portsmouth can head to Wembley next Sunday in high spirits.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
A listen back there to Pompey's 2-0 win at Shrewsbury last weekend, which completed a hat-trick of consecutive wins for the Blues, having beaten Walsall 3-2 away from home and Scunthorpe 2-0 at Fratton the previous Saturday. OK, I guess it's time to bring in my two guests for this evening's show. First of all, a man who sat across from me for the Friday Football Hour debut back in November, Mr. Adam Hillier. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
No problem. And alongside him, creator and host of a new Chimes podcast, of which I still haven't had an invite to, John Hooper.
Cheers, Jake. Thanks for letting me on.
No worries. I'm only joking, really. But welcome back to the show. We'll start with you, Adam. We heard then how the events of the last Pompey match unfolded on Pompey Live. And I think one of the standout performers from that game, again, was Brett Pittman.
Yeah, come back into the side recently after having a bit of a spell away from it. It's good to see him back in. He's always played for the team wherever he's been on the pitch, and it's good to see him back up front and putting the goals back in as well.
Yeah, John, we've seen him work his way back into the squad, as Adam just said, after quite a lengthy hiatus, really. Not even making the bench for the best part of the season, has he? How important has he been in securing all 3 points in recent games?
He has been what you describe as a perfect captain. He has been displaying up in the pitch and also at the back as well. He's putting some good tackles and also trying to create as well as score as well, and clearly is.
I was going to say, that performance in particular against Walsall, but I noticed in the first half, he wasn't playing up front.
It was unbelievable.
He wasn't even playing in the attack and midfield. He seemed as though he was in that kind of Tom Naylor, Ben Close role. But, you know, he was making it all tick, and I think he has done for the last three games.
Yeah, he's playing well.
We saw on Saturday against Shrewsbury, Adam, Kenny Jackett, he brought on Ollie Hawkins in the place of Omar Bogle. It just wasn't Bogle's day last weekend. But then that moved Brett Pittman up to the left-hand side as opposed to up top or even in behind him at number 10 role. A strange one it sounded, but actually it worked, and pretty well as well. Can you see that being a new position for Brett Pittman?
I don't think it will be his position going forwards, but what Pittman brings to the team is some stability on the ball. He's very good on it, very good at offloading passes, and getting the team to push forward is which sometimes we lack with maybe Hawkins or Bogle up front. He's a very good leader as well, and rightfully so, probably captain. So yeah, no, it's been great to see him back in the side, to be honest, and going forwards it's a good competition that we've got Bogle, Hawkins and Pittman in the side, all quite prolific strikers when they want to be, and I think that's healthy competition for the team.
I think it's fair to say as well, John, that Ollie Hawkins, again, proving any doubters wrong, because he played a huge part in that second goal. It was great persistency. He read the mistake. It was quick thinking to play the 1-2 with Brett, and perfect vision to lay it across to get the assist.
It was opportunistic thinking from Hawkins. Yeah. Keeper made a mistake and he capitalised massively. He also could have scored as well. Keeper's made a good save and also hit the bar as well.
Yeah.
Big player for us, as Adam says, we have a good plethora of strikers now on the squad.
That was an agonising one when he hit the bar. But again, one of those unfortunate moments as a footballer. Is this the start, Adam, of an exciting new partnership? Ollie Hawkins and Brett Pittman.
I don't know about that yet. I know for most of the season, Jackett has been happy to play one up front and then use Curtis and Lowe on the wings. So that's perhaps why the reason Pittman didn't get a look in for a long period of time. It was working well at the beginning of the season with Hawkins. But like I said, with the bringing in the Bogle in January, everyone up front seemed to have upped their game a little bit.
Yeah.
And now we've got healthy competition that at the beginning of the season we were calling for the January transfer window to have more strikers in. So it's a better option or better problem to have than we had before January.
Yeah.
Whether it's a partnership going forwards, I'm not sure at the minute. It remains to be seen. Perhaps we see it on Sunday.
We'll have to wait and see. Another aspect of the game I noticed on Saturday, John, and well, even before that, the defence. They seem to have just tightened it up suddenly, you know, overnight. Because like you say, we were saying a few weeks ago, one clean sheet in I think 17 league games stretching back as far as December, quite frankly, wasn't good enough, was it?
That's not promotion form.
But now we need to rely on those players at the back as much as we do need to rely on, you know, Curtis, Lowe, Hawkins up front.
100%, it's complete performance from back to front. everyone did a job defensively and also when they needed to attack. Yeah. And now we've got, was it back-to-back clean sheets?
Yes. Against Scunthorpe. 2-0 and 2-0.
Yeah. It is good form to get into the playoffs then.
And to use a cliche, the defence is the best form of attack. That is, that is the right saying, isn't it? It's just coming up to 6:15 here on Express FM, which means it's time for a quick break, after which we'd love to be scrolling through your text, tweets and emails as well. Are you happy with the potential of a Brett Pittman-Ollie Hawkins partnership up front? Where actually is Pittman's best position? Is it striker, number 10, or even on the left-hand side? And 32 players have featured for the Blues across the 7 Checkatrade Trophy games this season. But who starts Sunday's final against Sunderland? And not forgetting that big match preview coming up shortly here on Express FM. Are you confident that Pompey can pick up silverware on Sunday evening with only Sunderland standing in the way of them and the Checkatrade Trophy? Express is the word to begin your text message. Follow that with your name and answer. Send that across to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm or at Jake Pompey Smith if you fancy hassling me instead. And don't forget your score predictions for Sunday's Checkatrade Trophy final against the Black Cats as well. We'll try and get through as many of those as possible tonight. And after the break, we'll hear from Pompey boss Kenny Jackett, who has some words of wisdom heading into Sunday's final.
Well, if you want to be successful in football, then you have to find a way, and that's good. You know, it's very good. These are big games, are big challenges, and you know, we have to enjoy the challenge.
Hear the rest of what the gaffer had to say by sticking with us right here for the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening again, and welcome back to the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, Express FM, for the second part of the Friday Night Football Hour. This evening's show with myself, Jake Smith, Adam Hillier and John Hooper has driven to you safely by Stagecoach buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable journeys in and out of the Portsmouth area and across the entirety of the South Coast too. Now let's hear some more of that interview with Kenny Jackett now then. I follows Johnny Moore caught up with Gaffer ahead of the Checkatrade Trophy final and asked him about his focus and if he was excited heading into the game.
Yeah, very much so. Good win at the weekend, and you know, we put the league away, and as I said, look forward to this final one-off game anyway, a different competition, one that we've done well to get through on. You know, 7 games has been, you know, hard earned, this Wembley appearance, and we were pleased with that, but similarly now we have to concentrate, get our game head on, and get all the organisation, the distractions, if you were, out the way early in the week, and treat it like another game, and do everything we can to finish what's been a strong competition for us this season with a win.
It's easy to treat it like another game because there's so much more concentration on it and people are interested in it.
Well, if you want to be successful in football, then you have to find a way, and that's good. You know, it's very good. These are big games, are big challenges, and you know, we have to enjoy the challenge, you know, not underestimate it at all, but we have to enjoy the challenge, and it is a big challenge this week, and against a, you know, a very good Sunderland side.
Does it make now the early rounds where you played against teams in front of almost nobody, does it make it all worth it when you get this far?
Yeah, I think it's a good competition. I understand it's you know, it's got criticism, but I think the overlap of the 21s and then the, you know, the lower division clubs, if you like, I think that's a good one. I think it's good for development on both sides. You know, we've used it for that at the right time, where you can put, you know, maybe one or two promising kids in with a group of senior pros. I think that's good. And obviously from the 21s, it gives them the opportunity to, you know, play against and at the league grounds, which they don't necessarily get. So I think it's a good competition. And as I said, you know, the key to it is realising if you do well, you can get through to Wembley, which is great for, you know, whichever club gets there.
That there was the gaffer Kenny Jackett, who spoke to iFollow's Johnny Moore ahead of this Sunday's Checkatrade Trophy final against Sunderland. We'll be listening to the rest of that interview later on in tonight's show. Let's get straight back into it then, lads. And doing my research before the show, gents, I found that Kenny Jackett has picked 32 different Pompey players across the 7 Checkatrade Trophy games this campaign. And only one of those has featured in all 7 of those matches. Not started necessarily, but featured in all 7 games. And before I go to my main point, can any of you merit a guess as to who that might be?
Gareth Evans?
Gareth Evans, Adam's saying. John? One player who's played every single Checkatrade Trophy game. Not every minute, but he's featured in every game. He's the only one to do so.
Lee Brown?
No, you're both wrong. Christian Burgess. Yeah. It's Christian Burgess, and he hasn't started every game, as we say, but he's made an appearance in every match in the tournament, from the 4-0 thrashing of Gillingham in the group stages in September to being subbed off with that injury scare against Bury in the semi-final last month. And the point I was aiming towards there, John, was 32 different players. It's quite a lot. And if you're one of those who's played in the early stages of competition, are you, you know, if you're a footballer, if you're one of those players, are you feeling a little bit annoyed at the prospect of being left out on Sunday? Because we expect really Kenny to go full strength as he did last time out.
Oh, he's going to, no doubt. But it shows how big the squad is. Considering last season we had a very, very small squad, which cost us the top six. Mm. This season we can now rotate in and out of players. And say Louis Dennis, for instance, he got us this far and probably wouldn't get a chance in the starting 11.
Yeah.
It's quite sad.
No. And just skimming through that list, three of our four goalkeepers, Adam, have featured. Luke McGee started off in the tournament. Alex Bass, until the semi-final where Craig McGilvery was called upon. Does it feel as though, as the competition has progressed, Kenny Jackett's thought, actually, we can win this?
Yeah, the attraction of going to Wembley sort of got bigger as the competition went on. I think maybe at the beginning, I might be reading too much into it. I could probably suggest it wasn't number one priority.
No.
If you looked at the original teams that he put out, he was making 10, 11 changes from the Saturday before.
Yeah.
But as the competitions go on, naturally, if Wembley is knocking and a chance to have a great day out with the fans and the team as well, then of course you've got to play your strongest team. And I think he'll do so on Sunday.
A tweet from Dan Foster, an interesting one. He says, anyone else feel that the lack of pressure from a fan perspective may have helped Pompey's progression throughout the Checkatrade Trophy? John, do you feel as though, you know, there's the whole reasons as why people haven't been attending the game so far, of course, but and we're not going to go too far into that, but do you think that, like he says, that lack of pressure could be the reason why we've gone so far?
100% I agree with him. I feel like it's never been a priority, as Adam mentioned, but the fact we're Wembley beckons, but we're out there now, it's slowly but surely become a priority. Yeah. Not in the dark, but it has.
It's one of those who, slowly. I guess you kind of look at it and you think, oh, you know, if we win this, we got silverware, got a little bit of prize money, massive day out at Wembley, 40,000 Pompey fans, everything like that.
Huge day out.
And I think on paper, you think, you look at it, Adam, and you think, if we don't win it, I don't think anyone's going to be too bothered.
No,
it's. But actually, if you get there on a day, 41,000 odd Pompey fans singing and dancing for the full 90 minutes plus whatever, you're going to feel gutted, actually.
Yeah, I think for this one coming up, as opposed to when we were in the FA Cup in 2010 or 2008, it's a different sort of competition. I think saying less pressure on the players, I think they've just been allowed to play, try new things, get new people on the pitch who maybe have not been getting time or in the first team in league games. And I think that's helped contributed to now we're one game away from some silverware at Wembley, and I think that's been real credit to the players who, when they've been given their chance, have put in a shift for the team, and we've sailed through the competition, really.
Well, one of those players you mentioned is Louis Dennis, and he's a player, well, you didn't mention Louis Dennis, but you mentioned players who, you know, not quite getting first team action but have been allowed time in this competition. And he's played five of his games so far, John, and obviously just missing out on the last two, really. You got to feel for him as well, because I think he's been an integral part of this competition. You know, players like David Wheeler, Andre Green, even Ben Thompson have popped up with their goals in this this competition to help us get to where we are. But they're not here anymore. Louis Dennis still is. I think perhaps he. Do you think he deserves a place at least on the bench on Sunday?
Yes, because he's merited at least a start, spot in the 8 squad 18. He's almost carried us, but he has definitely helped with goals and assists in this competition this season.
And we can't go any further, of course, without wishing Pompey winger Ronan Curtis a happy 23rd birthday today. Hopefully it won't just be cards and a cake he'll be acquiring this weekend. Don't forget you can get in contact with us here on Express FM. 81400 is the number to text. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. That is what Jack Hancock has done. He says, Super Brett is the complete player, the conductor who orchestrates the play, and the man to look for when you're 1-0 down. Thank you to Jack Hancock on Twitter. And speaking more on the final, we'll preview it a little bit more later in the show as well, but a new attendance record for the Checkatrade Trophy final, or, you know, the recent formats, but it's been, you know, the JPT, everything It's a new attendance record overall. Over 80,000 tickets sold. I think over 41 of those are Pompey and just under 40 are Sunderland. It's more than the last El Clasico and more than the League Cup final between Chelsea and Manchester City this year.
Impressive. That's sensational.
Yeah. And I think last season, I think Coventry took just under 40,000. Oxford took a fair few as well, 26, 27,000, I believe. Do you feel as though people are starting to accept this competition, Adam? Because once you get to the final, everyone comes out.
I don't think so overall. I think the EFL will probably be licking their lips, actually. They've probably had the two biggest teams in League One and League Two in the final. So they're probably loving this quite a lot, knowing that they've got big fan bases, backed by passionate fans, and they're going to sell. They were always going to sell tickets to this final. Mm-hmm. It's a day out at Wembley. In terms of people accepting the competition going forward, I think in the current format it's in, I don't think they will. No. I think there's too many people against under 23 Premier League teams being in there. But as a showcase of lower league football this weekend, I think it's excellent that the number of tickets have been sold. Yeah. And it's a real chance to show what Portsmouth and Sunderland are made of.
Hmm. And like you say, it's also a nice piece of silverware, potentially, you know, for one of these teams. If they go up this season, Sunderland and Pompey, one of them is likely to go up, let's face it, to the Championship, and a bit of silverware to add on to that. It's time again now for a very short break, but we'll be back before long as we also take a quick breather from Pompey to have a gander at what else is going on this weekend, including a non-league update from Henry Deacon and a Pompey women's preview too. We'll take a look through some of your messages as well in a short while. Now, Pompey are at Wembley this weekend in the Checkatrade Trophy final. Could this be perhaps the first of two trips this season, though? Playoffs are a possibility for the Blues, and defender Lee Brown spoke to iFollow's Johnny Moore about what it feels like.
It was a good day all round, really. It's just, when you're down there, as everyone knows, the playoffs, it can ruin your summer if you don't win.
So stay tuned to hear the rest of what he had to say when the Friday Football Hour returns after the break, right here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM. This season, we are sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the mobile app, which you can do both on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store on Android. We've just gone past the halfway mark of tonight's show. It's flying by as usual, which means you don't have long to get involved with the discussion if you haven't done so already. You can text us. The number is 81400. Start your message with the word Express, followed by your name. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm. Are you willing to accept Brett Pimmon, Ollie Hawkins partnership? Who do you want to see start in Sunday's final? And we also want your score predictions for the match versus Sunderland. We're going to brush aside from Pompey for a few moments now, though, as we'll be hearing from our non-league reporter, Henry Deacon, who provides a preview of all the footballing action this weekend involving all of your local clubs.
As Pompey march towards the Wembley Arch on Sunday, there's other crucial fixtures involving the sides in our local area, both the top end and the bottom end of the leagues in the non-league circuit. We kick off with a pivotal game for Havant and Waterlooville tomorrow as they face Sutton United at Gander Green Lane. It's quite fair to say that the Hawks' destiny could hinge on the next 90 minutes in London tomorrow. They are 7 points adrift of Bournemouth and National League safety with just 6 games remaining. Defeat could put them 10 points adrift, however a win could put them within 4 points of safety with 5 games to go. It would certainly be anyone's game then. Gosport Borough host Harrow Borough tomorrow in the Southern League Premier Division. The Borough have just signed Eva Sakaja from Havant and Waterlooville amongst 3 deadline day signings at Privet Park. I'll be hoping that they can string together some chemistry right away against Harrow Borough. Gosport are still inside the league's bottom three. Moneyfields take on Thatcham Town. Thresham a 2-0 defeat to Street last Saturday. The Moneyfields manager Dave Carter bemoaning the decisions of the referee in that defeat. In the Wessex League Premier Division, Fair and Town, fresh from a fantastic win over Portland United, take on Brockenhurst. Baffin's Milton Rovers, they're away to Portland. AFC Porchester face Shaftesbury away from home, whilst Horndean take on Tadley Khalifa. In the first division of the Wessex League, congratulations to Petersfield Town, who have secured safety for another season. They take on East Counts Victoria at Beatrice Avenue tomorrow, whilst United services Portsmouth host Andover Town. And that is your local roundup for this week.
Thank you, Henry. With Pompey not playing till Sunday, why not get yourself over to one of those games mentioned? Maybe even make a weekend of it in London with Havant towards Louisville away to Sutton United on Saturday and Pompey at Wembley the next day. I know what I'll be doing. How about you? You can catch Henners right here on Express FM every Wednesday from 7pm for your weekly non-league chat on Over the White Line. We now come to a part where we usually preview the game involving the Pompey women this weekend, and we still are, but sadly it does clash with the men's trip up to Wembley. It's an unfortunately timed game of which the Blues women did try and have swapped for the Saturday, but they were unsuccessful. However, if you are remaining true to your feelings on the Checkatrade Trophy and still want to get your footballing fix this Sunday afternoon, then keep one ear open now as we preview the upcoming Pompey women's fixture. This Sunday, the Pompey women play host to Loughborough in the FA Women's National League. The Blues go into the game fresh off a 3-1 victory over tough opponents Chichester City on Wednesday evening, the girls' second game at the PMC Stadium in the space of 7 days. The first ended in a 3-0 defeat against Cardiff City, with international pedigree in their squad, last Sunday. Katie James opened the scoring for Pompey after just 11 minutes on Wednesday evening, and Jade Bradley doubled the lead just 10 minutes later, before Jess Lurie grabbed a quick reply for Chichester less than 60 seconds later. A bizarre 5 minutes towards the end of the game saw the visitors rewarded with two penalties on both the 79th and 84th minutes. Heroically though, Blues keeper Hannah Horton pulled off two brilliant saves to deny goal scorer Jess Lurie, who took both spot kicks. The Blues shot stopper was equal to both attempts, which were both shot at different sides of her goal. Rachel Panting put the icing on the cake and settled any nerves in second half injury time to secure the 3 points, with an excellent strike fired in off the crossbar, following her shot outside of the box to make it 3-1 to Jace Douglas' side. Tickets for this upcoming home tie against Loughborough at the PMC Stadium, home to Baffin's Milton Rovers off the Eastern Road, are priced at £5 for adults and £2 for sessions, under 18s and over 63s. Kick-off is at the slightly earlier than usual time of 1pm, this Sunday, the 31st of March. An update there on...
If you are heading to Brent via car and you are driving, or maybe you're just that annoying backseat driver, then listen up. Actually, it's rather simple apparently, because Wembley Stadium is just off the A406 North Circular Road and is well signposted from the end of the M1 and M40. The postcode for Wembley Stadium is HA98BQ. That's HA98BQ. Parking will be scarce around Wembley Stadium, if you've yet to pre-book any, that is. You can try your luck over at wembleyofficialparking.com to see if they do have any spaces left. But I can tell you now that I'm already aware of Pompey's allocated car park has already been filled. But you never know. Prices are £65 per coach and £30 per car, if booked in advance, and prices, again, subject to availability, will increase on the day of the game. If you are successful, or already have been, then you'll need to know that Pompey have been given the red car park and orange coach park. Blue badge parking is available to purchase at a discounted rate of £15 per space. This is also subject to availability and may cost more on the day. There is also the smart option of renting a private driveway near Wembley via yourparkingspace.co.uk. An alternative option may be to park at one of the tube stations at the end of the Metropolitan line, such as Uxbridge, Hillingdon or Ruislip, or maybe at Stanmore on the Jubilee line. Then all you'd have to do is take the short tube journey to Wembley Park Station. There's also a residents-only parking scheme that operates in the local area, so on-street parking is out of the equation, unless you fancy picking up a hefty fine. If you are going on the train, then you probably already have it sorted by now, but if you have for some reason left it to the last minute, then note that trains will be running regularly from Portsmouth to London Waterloo, and also hourly direct to London Victoria. The nearest tube station to Wembley Stadium, as mentioned, is Wembley Park, which is on both the Jubilee and Metropolitan lines, and you will see the stadium in front of you as you come out of the station. Regular trains also run half-hourly from London Marylebone Station to Wembley Stadium Station, a journey time of 9 minutes, and there is also the option of heading to Wembley Central Station. It's further away from the stadium and is served by the Bakerloo Tube Line, London Overground, and trains on the West Coast Main Line. I'm afraid, though, that engineering works are scheduled for Sunday, closing all lines in the Eastleigh area. This means that passengers going to London Waterloo via Basingstoke will have to use a replacement bus service from Fareham to Winchester. Some lines between London Waterloo and Clapham Junction including the part of London Waterloo Station, will also be closed for maintenance work. For up-to-date travel information on the day, please check at PompeyFCCop on Twitter or go to southwesternrailway.com. We advise that you do both before setting off on Sunday morning.
There you have it then, the travel information if you're heading up to Wembley on
Sunday morning. It's obviously a final. You're playing at the National Stadium, so it's always a great day out. But obviously you want to win, you know. It's all right going there and enjoying all the stadium, the atmosphere and stuff, but it's only good if you win for me.
You can talk with some hindsight there, can't you?
Yeah, I've been there before and won. But look, it don't give you no right to win this time. I can speak from what I felt when we did win. It's a great feeling. I haven't been on a defeat yet there, but I can imagine it's not very nice.
You were on the score sheet, actually, weren't you, right at the end?
Oh, keep it coming. it was a penalty shootout. I took a pen. Luckily, it went in. But yeah, it was a good day all round. Really, when you're down there, as everyone knows, the playoffs. It can ruin your summer if you don't win.
The Chequer trade, it can't ruin your season because there's so much still to play for after it.
Yeah, you could say that. There's still a lot to play for. But he's back with Wembley. Look at him. He's never been so chirpy. Look at him. He's got a bruised nail.
See him look happy though, isn't it?
Nail, mate. Of course. There's still a lot to play for, but at our level, to win a trophy or to win some sort of medal is quite a big thing at any level, really. To win a trophy or a competition is a big thing.
You're going to make Chequer trade history for the numbers there. Is it the biggest crowd that you all have played in front of?
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, I think they got something like 65,000 or something like that in the playoff final. So yeah, what fantastic support, you know, for a Chequer trade final. To sell it out and the time they did sell it out in, it's fantastic, and I think all the players and staff appreciate it for on both sides.
So you have to enjoy the prospect of that, don't you?
Yeah, but you can only enjoy it if you win. For me, it's probably not very nice playing in front of that fat amount of people when you lose. So we'll be having that in the back of our mind and want to go on and win, to be honest.
Lee Brown there, rudely interrupting me talking. Gonna have words with him. Sorry about that. Some technical glitches here in the studio. Going back to the travel information for Sunday, you'd have heard back then how to get to Wembley Stadium. Don't forget as well that it is the start of British summertime on Sunday morning. That's right, the clocks go forward during the early hours of Sunday morning. So please remember to change your clocks to an hour ahead before you head off to sleep on Saturday night to avoid missing your transport up to London. That could be quite disastrous. If you're looking for somewhere to go and eat and drink before the game as well, the Blues have been allocated specific pubs due to the sheer number of opposing fans also at the game. It's a regular Wembley occurrence, and this year Pompey have been allocated the west side of the stadium. It's the opposite end to the previous five visits around a decade ago, and the following venues will be welcoming Blues fans around the stadium. You've got the Box Park, the Green Man, the Arch, Station 31, JJ Moons, Flannery's, the Corner House, and the Copper Jug. So those are the pubs and the venues to get to if you're heading to Wembley, and also you're supporting Pompey on Sunday afternoon. And just a reminder as well, the tickets are, of course, unavailable for Sunday's final. Blues fans snapped up already well over 40,000 tickets for the match around a week after initially going on sale, with extra tickets being handed to us time and time again. And please be advised as well that there has been a new bag policy implemented at Wembley Stadium since our last visit there, meaning that no bag larger than the size of an A4 piece of paper will be allowed inside. And if you're trying to be sneaky by only half filling your bag and folding it down to size, well, you'll be in for a shock, because they still won't allow it. And any large bags but will need to be dropped off at the dedicated bag drop at a cost of £5 per bag. They can be collected after the game, but be aware, because supporters at other Wembley events have found it can be a very slow process to drop off your bag and also collect it after the match. So if you must bring a bag, please allow plenty of time in your day. If you need to take a large bag in for medical reasons, please contact help.wembleystadium.com/support/home prior to the day. You'll be issued with a certificate, which you'll need to bring with you, and your bag is likely to be searched and x-rayed, And finally, any merchandise brought outside the ground will be sold in a sealed plastic bag, and you're advised not to open the seal until you're inside Wembley Stadium. That's a lot of information to digest there. Myself, Adam and John will be on hand to take a closer look at Sunday's opposition, Sunderland, after the next break. But before we do that, we'll also hear the conclusion of the interview with Kenny Jackett. And with this squad selection, something we've been talking about for a while now, there was a big question about Ronan Curtis. Will he be back and fit for the time for the final?
The only grey area that I've got at the moment is obviously Ronan Curtis, and he'll need to train over a number of days to see how he is, see how comfortable he is with things, and most importantly for me to assess him and see whether he's ready or not.
We can hear the rest of that interview next here on Express FM. 81400 is the number you need to text if you haven't done so already. Start with the message of the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or you can tweet us at ExpressFM. Don't touch those dials because the Football Hour reaches its conclusion right here next on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, which as ever is being driven to you safely across the South Coast by Stagecoach buses. And something not so safe is my studio guest Adam Hillier, who during the break informed me that he's a bit of a bad omen with the glitches within the system. So basically, don't get used to him because he's not coming back again, because whenever he comes on, there's always some kind of glitch with the system. Let's go back to Wednesday afternoon now then, hopefully, when IFLO's Johnny Moore asked Kenny Jackett about the squad selection process.
You definitely know where you want to go. The only grey area that I've got at the moment is obviously Ronan Curtis, and he'll train tomorrow, and I'll have a look at him. I have, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So he'll need to train over a number of days to see how he is, see how comfortable he is with things, and most importantly for me to assess him and see whether he's ready or not. Other than that, you know, we're not waiting on anybody necessarily. The group are outside training and looking forward to the game.
So what's the timetable? Do you go up to Wembley obviously on Saturday and take it from there?
Yeah, we will do. We'll treat it as far as we can a normal away game. Now that'll be the case, and in terms of getting our organisation right, yes, and you know, Saturday will be a training day for us, and as you say, after training we'll go up and stay near Wembley.
Is there anything to be anxious about, or should you just enjoy it?
Well, you know, you are going to be nervous. There is no doubt about that. And right that you should be in this situation. It's getting the right balance, and for myself and the staff, making sure that, you know, we give the players the right information, keeping concentrating on the right things. You know, that's a big thing, and not necessarily the distractions.
Are you impressed that they're playing in front of over 80,000? You don't get to do that too many times in anyone's career.
I think that's there. I don't think we, you know, need to necessarily stress that. You know, for the players, they're aware of it and, you know, I'm sure excited by it as well. But, you know, we need to keep their feet on the floor and, as I said, make sure that the concentration is on the most important things. And you know, it's a chance, it's an opportunity. You know, we're looking at the end part of our season. It's good, we have so much to play for. And there's, you know, many clubs in all divisions that will be looking now to get through to the summer and just build again and have a good year next year. We're not like that. You know, our season is ahead of us, and, you know, we want to achieve big things and make it a great season and a memorable season. We want that, and we have to realise that opportunity is there and do everything we can to take it.
The boss, Kenny Jackett there, ahead of this Sunday's big Checkatrade Trophy final against Sunderland. If you've missed any of the interviews we played so far on tonight's show, then fear not, because they'll all be replayed on Pompey Live from midday on Sunday, as well as being available when the podcast of this show is uploaded, barring any gremlins, of course, which will be very soon, we hope. Let's get straight back to it then. We've got only around about 10 minutes left of this evening's Football Hour on Express FM. And just going over our record at the new Wembley, lads. Played 5, won 3, lost 2. Obviously, the 3 we've won, the 2 FA Cup semi-finals against West Brom and Tottenham, and obviously the FA Cup final itself against Cardiff in 2008, and the 2 losses against Chelsea in the final and Man United in the Community Shield later that August. Do you feel, John, that could be, it is a good omen going into the game? Obviously, you know, we've won more than we have lost, but do you think that will play on the mind a little bit?
I think with a club like Pompey, of course it will. We're a big club. It used to be our second home for a time, but it shouldn't too much. Don't look into history too much at the moment. You should focus on the game itself and see how it goes.
An email from Chris Italy. He says, "Hey guys, the pizza has landed. Chris, Anna and her friend Clara from Uruguay, who is a staunch Pompey's fan, as she calls us. We are checked into our B&B in Wembley, awaiting the big day. Game management will be a key to success. Wembley is a very big pitch. A question, sorry if I'm being lazy, but is extra time needed before penalties? And an answer to that question, Chris, yes. There will be extra time on Sunday's game if it is a draw at the end of 90 minutes. It's not the same as the previous rounds of the competition. There will be extra time before penalties if it is a tie. And just continuing from his email, some of our players, in particular the high mileage ones like Curtis and Evans, or the limited range ones like Pittman and Bogle, could not perhaps do the 90 minutes. So in my opinion, smart subs will be the key in winning this one. My sly tip, get Dion Donoghue on in the second half and just get him to do that killer pass that took our Norwich that took apart Norwich when their legs were tiring. See you on Wembley Way. We do hope we see you on Wembley Way. Gav Jones on Twitter says, good evening, gents. In my opinion, Brett Pittman has to retain his starting spot on Sunday. An experienced senior pro, club captain, along with his recent performances, it seems like a no-brainer to me. I don't know how you guys feel. Well, we'll find out. Adam, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the possibility of Brett Pittman starting again for the final on Sunday?
Oh, he has to. He's one of the more experienced players in the team, playing at a higher division as well, so he'll be used to big games like this. I think as well as having him in the team, I think a lot of the youth side of things, I think it'd be good to see if Ronan Curtis is fit and good to play, and him and Jamal Lowe, I think they've got space to burn on that Wembley pitch. They should use it, and it could be what is the difference between the two sides at the weekend. Yeah.
Looking at our record against Sunderland, and it's something that people say, you know, don't say that, you're going to jinx it. But at the end of the day, we're previewing the game. We've got to. Overall, we've played a lot of games against them, actually. 33 wins, 33 draws, and 37 losses. So we need to overturn that, really. But we're also 7 unbeaten against Sunderland. That stretches back to a 2-0 away loss in the Premier League in January 2008. That's before I even attended my first game. That's how long ago that was. Do you feel as though that 7-game unbeaten run against Sunderland will play in our favour on Sunday, John? Because we know that they're a good team, yes. We know that they are, you know, well, they're level with us in the league table at the moment, aren't they? But do you feel as though that we can go into the game thinking, you know what, we can beat these? They may be a good team, 100%. But we're a good team.
We go into the game going to win. As I said previously, I think the fact we've got some good history against them will play in our favour, also could play against us. They'll know that as well, and they want to eradicate it, so they might want to step up the game just a bit more because it's us.
Anthony Hess on Twitter, his lineup, he says, Big Mac, that's Craig McGilvery, I assume, Nathan Thompson, Christian Burgess, Matt Clark, Lee Brown, Tom Naylor, Ben Close in the middle, Jamal Lowe, Brett Pittman number 10, Ronan Curtis on the wing with Omar Bogle up top. And speaking of Omar Bogle, he's a player we're not sure if he's going to be available because of his injury or lack of, we don't know yet, but players will be available because of the loanees that come in and the ineligibility of the competition. Viv Solomon, Otterbort, James Vaughan and Omar Bogle will be allowed to play if they're fit on Sunday, but Lloyd Isgrove, Bryn Morris and Andy Cannon will not be allowed to play in Sunday's final, although we've not really seen too much of those anyway. John, if you're making your team lineup for the game, what do you go with? I mean, we're going to go with our strongest lineup. That's a given. But
I'll do same as Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
With the exception of Hulkin, Starnover, Bogle.
Yeah. Do you treat this, Adam, as just another game, really? Because it's a big game. But saying that, the last 6-7 games in the league are also big games, just as big.
Yeah, you have to treat it exactly the same. I've got a sneaky suspicion this could also be the playoff final when it comes to it, if we're going like this and things stay the same. If that's the case, this is going to be a good warm-up act for any game at Wembley. Be good to get experience under for players who've never played there before. We've heard from Lee Brown tonight and he's already played there. But for players who haven't, it'll be good to get them experience and get a feel for what it's like to be in the change room and walk out on the pitch beforehand. It's going to be an experience, if anything else. I feel like it's a win-win if we win or lose, because we'll learn from it either way.
Yeah. John, you're going to the game, of course. You're going to feel a bit upset if we lose the game, of course, but do you think now, sitting here, if I told you we were to lose on Sunday, are you going to feel gutted about that?
I'll be upset to an extent, I was just day out to see Pompey at Wembley. Yeah. How often am I going to see that this in my lifetime? But no, I wouldn't be too phased about it either way.
But there's the stigma, Adam, obviously, on the competition and the boycotts that has happened all season. You know, 3,000 are our highest home attendance. And now we've got over 40,000 at Wembley. Do you feel as though they could be feeling the same as John? You know, they're going into the game thinking, you know what, this is a trophy, we can go and win this. But actually, inside, they're actually thinking, yeah, we really want to win this. As much as, you know, on the outside, they maybe say, no, I don't care. Doesn't matter if we win or lose, it's day out. Actually, we're all really wanting to win this game.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've seen as fans to have developed a little bit of rivalry with Sunderland throughout the season. I know if you look on Twitter, there's quite a bit of back and forth between the two. So yeah, we'll want to put one over them. We've already have beaten them this season, and I think that could play into it. All right, be it Sunderland did play most of the game with 10 men, but it is good to already have beaten the team that you're facing this season. Yeah. So that surely will give the players some confidence.
Adam mentions they're already beaten Sunderland this season. That game was back in December at Fratton Park. Pompey ran out 3-1 winners in League One. Gareth Evans from the spot, Ronan Curtis and Ben Thompson as well. Luke 09 consolidated for the Black Cats in December. Also, just a quick mention that we are expecting a 6-minute applause on Sunday for the recently lost Bradley Lowry, the young Sunderland fan. Of course, he gripped the whole, well, the entire nation with his story a couple of years ago. So, 6-minute applause for Bradley Lowry. If you're going to the game on Sunday, please, please remember that. That'd be a great gesture. Over 80,000 singing and clapping his name would be fantastic. And also mention as well to Harry St. Ledger. He's walking out the Pompey team on Sunday. Great experience for the lad. You might have seen him in the papers as well. He's also battling his own illness, but he's been a soldier. He's battled through it, and he continues to go week in, week out to these Pompey games. And great for him. He'll be leading out the Pompey team on Sunday, as well as the Mothers as well, who've won the Mother's Day competition. Some score predictions then. Prentice Donnelly, he's actually a Sunderland fan. He says, head says 2-1 Pompey, but heart is going for a 1-0 Sunderland win. Pat Orme is going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Owen's going for a 2-1 as well, and he reckons that Brett Pittman will pop up with both of Pompey's goals. And Carl Lewis is not feeling so confident. He's predicting a 2-1 victory for Sunderland. And Carl is a Pompey fan. Gents, it's about time for the show. It's your score predictions. John?
Same as last season. This season, sorry, 3-1.
3-1. Any particular goal scorer?
Lee Brown to win it.
Adam? Lee Brown.
that's a weird one. I'm going to go 2-1 Pompey. I think we're going to leave it late, but I have a feeling Ben Close is going to pop up with a goal at some point, and it'd be fantastic to see it, being a Pompey through and through lad. I think it'd be great to see him get a goal at Wembley.
Who can you see starting up front quickly?
I think it will be Hawkins based off the weekend, but I would like to see Bogle get on at some point, because I think he brings something a little bit different up top that could scare the Black Cats.
Adam Hillier, a big thank you for joining me this evening. John Hooper, my thanks to you as well, mate. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win after extra time. That is. And that is that. There we have it then. That brings an end to another episode of the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. I'd like to thank my two studio guests this evening, Adam Hillier and John Hooper, for joining me on the show. I'd also like to send my thanks to you back home for tuning in to us tonight, and especially to those who got involved on the text, tweets and emails throughout this evening. Red Rose takes control of the studio in just over 5 minutes' time. Join her for an hour of song requests right after the 7 o'clock news, before Glow's Music for the Soul at 8, and then Hipshaker from 10 through to midnight. There's a slight change in the Saturday schedule this weekend. With no Blues game tomorrow, Ian McGuinness takes over at 7 a.m. as normal for the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. After that, Mason Jordan and Lily Park take you through with Just Great Music till 2 p.m, when the earlier than usual Country Music Show with Russell Hill is live until 5. That's usually on a Sunday, of course. That replaces Pompey Live tomorrow. I'm back for the Football Hours on both Monday and Friday next week. On Monday, myself, Jeff Harris and Jamie Spencer will be bringing you all the reaction from what we hope is a Chequered Trade Trophy final win on Sunday. And on Friday, I'm joined by commentator Frankie Rudland from the Pompey Audio Description Service, and a special guest too. But before all of that, we have the small matter of the Chequered Trade Trophy final. Myself, Liam Howes, and the legend Alan Knight will be bringing you full pre-match coverage, half-time analysis and post-match reaction live from Wembley Stadium. So join us from midday on Sunday, where we'll be starting our programme from outside the National Stadium until around about 1 o'clock. We will also be along Wembley Way to mingle with you wonderful lot before we head inside for a short while before kick-off with Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham taking over from 2:30. So, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We're going to Wembley. Que sera, sera. See you on Sunday. Play up Pompey.